Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you. Tonight, I'm not bringing the Word. We have one greater than I. We have a great friend here in the house tonight. He hails from Alberta, Canada, all the way on the other side. Please just remain here on your feet for a second. He comes all the way from Red Deer, Alberta. He pastors an incredible ministry called Home Church. They have planted 128 churches around the world. You heard me right. Come on. Give the Lord some praise for that. 128 churches. He has been the senior pastor at Home Church for 17 years. He's a new friend of mine, and he is doing incredible work for the Lord all around this nation and around the globe. So we don't have an American tonight. We have a Canadian. One of you, would you give the biggest, warmest Ontario welcome to my friend, Pastor Jakin Mullen.
What's up, the River? Who's excited about Jesus tonight? Come on, let's give a moment. Let's just give Jesus our best praise today. Come on. All you got. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Man, it's so good to be with you. You may not know this, but I've been following you for a long time on Instagram and following the McVitie family. And it is amazing. Isn't it awesome to see God doing something awesome in Canada? Come on. And hey, if you end up following me through after today, you'll find that all my posts through worship was, oh my goodness, what's happening in Canada? Let it happen from coast to coast, from sea to sea. Province to province, territory to territory. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody, from coast to coast. In Jesus' name. Hey, in fact, why don't we just stretch out your hand somewhere? Like, you can go that way, you can go this way, you can go this way. Pick a province, pick a place. Just begin to pray right now. I'm going to give you 30 seconds just to pray for our nation. Pray for a youth revival in our nation. Would you do that? Just go ahead right now. Somebody pray for Alberta. Somebody pray for BC. Somebody take Manitoba. Someone take Saskatchewan. Someone take New Brunswick. Someone take PEI. Someone take the territories. Just begin to pray and say, Lord, let it be done. What you're doing here, Lord, do it there, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. Right across the country, Father. Lives being changed. Young people turning their hearts to Jesus. We pray the presence of God would grow in this nation, oh God. Strengthen this nation, oh God, we pray. Save this nation, oh God, we pray. In Jesus' name. Somebody give Jesus a praise in the house today. Amen. Turn around, give some high fives around you, and you can be seated in the house of God. It is so awesome to be with you tonight. And as I was saying a minute ago, I've been following you and following Ryan and Lindsay online, and I've known Dr. Charles for a bit, and I want to give some honor where honor is due. First of all, my dad, who has been great friends with the McVities and with Dr. Charles for a long time, he called me yesterday. He's actually on his way to Uzbekistan. He's 78 years old, and he's doing, I think, 13 mission trips this year. And he's in Uzbekistan right now. But he called me yesterday, and Dr. McVitie, he said, Jakin, I'm so excited that you're going to be with the McVities. I'm going to be at the River. And he said this to me. He said, Jakin, do you know who the greatest man in Canada is right now? And I said, Justin Trudeau. And he said, no, I didn't say that. He said to me, he said, the greatest man in Canada is Dr. Charles McVitie. And I want to honor you, sir. And I said, Dad, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And of course, I think we should just give honor where honor is due. Pastor Ryan and Lindsay and the whole team with the River is just amazing. I want to show you a little picture of my family. This is my wife, Becca, and our four kids, Levi, Ava, Jude, and Matthew. And Becca and I just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary just a couple months ago, 25 years of marriage. And just the other day, I turned 50. Just on Saturday, I turned 50 years old, half a century old. I didn't really do anything to get that honor except for live, but I turned 50, and what happens when you get older is that your kids make really good fun of you. And so my son's been bugging me recently because I was wearing these pants without socks. And so if you can put that picture up on the screen, he was bugging me, Dad, like, is that a no-no to wear no socks with these pants? And so he's bugging me, Dad. And then he shows me a picture. He says, Dad, I bet you wear these socks. Put those socks up. Son, I don't wear women's socks. And, they're always bugging me. And so, of course, last week, I mean, we're all suffering from sports depression after last week. And I was sitting on my couch like this. Ah. And my 15-year-old son came and took his fingers, and he was really measuring my forehead. I didn't know. He was measuring my forehead with his fingers. And he says, Dad, you don't have a forehead. You have an eight head, eight fingers. And so this is what happens when you turn 50 is you get made fun of. But it is so awesome to be part of a great family and a great church. And we're thankful for all that God is doing. And just so you're aware, I've already invited, and we just got to get the date, but invited the River Worship to home church in Red Deer, Alberta. And Ryan will be preaching. We're going to find the date. But I would love to see what God's doing here all the way over there. Would you do something with me? Would you stand to your feet for just a moment? And I love standing for the reading of God's word. And we're going to go to a scripture that you may know. There might be some that don't know this scripture, but it's John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There is a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own. His own did not receive him. Verse 12. Would you read it with me? But as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of truth and grace. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Let it bring life, light, and ultimately bring us to a revelation of Jesus today, I pray in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. You can be seated for just a moment. And my goal out of this message is really simple. My goal out of this message is that I would get you reading your Bibles if you're not, reading your Bibles more if you are, and encountering Christ again and again. In this scripture, it ends with, and Jesus was full of grace and truth. And if you haven't read your Bible or you're not reading your Bible, a great place to start is the book of John. I love the book of John. And in fact, there was a lady in our church. She just came to Christ, but literally she was at our welcome lunch and she's sobbing. And she's saying, Pastor Jakin, thank you for this message on John. It gives me a place to start. She says, I know nothing. And I started to say to her, well, you know, John 3:16. And she goes, no, I don't know John 3:16. Do you know we have a world that doesn't know John 3:16? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And after that message, there was a girl, she's 22 years old. She just started coming to our church. She just gave her life to Christ. She said, Pastor Jakin, thank you for telling me to start in the book of John. I know nothing. And here's a few things about the book of John. Of course, as you start reading the Bible, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at the beginning of the New Testament. And those are really the fourfold gospels, or four perspectives, or four pictures, four stories of what was going on in the life of Jesus. And then the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called synoptic gospels. What that means is, it means to see together. Now, all of them, not one of them is more important than the other. All of them are very important. But the first three gospels focused on what Jesus taught and did. But the book of John focused on who Jesus is. That's why I love the book of John, because John was the disciple. He was the kid in your family that says, Dad loves me more. Mom loves me more. It was John that said that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. He was talking about himself. And so the whole lens of the book of John, over and over and over again, is just saying, I love you. I love you. I want to have relationship with you. Come to me. I love you. I want to connect with you. And over and over and over, John is focused on the love of God. And so we find grace and truth, as it says he's full of grace and truth. We find it right in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is there anybody thankful for the gospel today? Amen. And we get to John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved, might be saved. That's truth. But then we get to grace. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And so you have truth, that we're condemned in our sin before we believe in Christ, before the cross. We have grace, we have eternal life if we believe in his name. And God gives us love, that it's the love of God. It's all Christ coming to us, is all God's love towards us. And so this fourfold gospel, we see these different pictures or a view. And Matthew is the view of a tax collector. It's a view of someone who Jesus ate with when the Pharisees said, you shouldn't eat with the sinners. And Matthew was one of those that Jesus was eating with. Luke was a physician. And so Luke was, he was meticulous in the book of Acts. And it's the most accurate archaeological, historical book that actually gives us places and people that happen to prove to us that the Bible is true. It's a very important book. Then there's Mark, and Mark is what I call a book of urgency of ministry. Because in the book of Mark, as you're reading the book of Mark, this is what you'll see over and over again. Jesus came, Jesus healed, Jesus delivered, and Jesus went. And every story, every page is a different story of that. Jesus came, Jesus healed, Jesus delivered, and then Jesus went to another place to do the same things. It's a book of it's a book of urgency. But the book of John is to show us the person of Jesus, that we would have a relationship with him, but a revelation of him. In fact, John's whole life, he's saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. And even when we get to the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation isn't just a book about the end times, which it is. It's not a book about the apocalypse, even though it is. It's called the Revelation of Jesus. And John is from the book of John, but also from the book of Revelation saying, I want you to have an experience and know Christ. I don't just want you to know what he said and what he did. I want you to know the person of Jesus. And why does he want you to know this? Well, he wants you to know this so you believe in him. John chapter 20, we get to the end of the book of John. Verse 30, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book, but these were written, can you say this with me, that you may believe. Is it on the screen? Can you say it one more time with me? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So John is saying to us, through the book, I want you to have an experience with Christ. And I want you to be able to have that experience so that you can believe in his name. And so as we read through this first part of John, it is, wow, it is awesome what John is saying of who Jesus is. And so I want to give you seven things that it says right in this first part of John that John is saying, this is who Christ is. This is who we're meeting today. This is who we're worshiping today. This is who we're connecting to today. This is who is healing our hearts today. This is who is filling us to overflowing today. This is who is giving us new life. Number one, he's the creator. The creator of the universe is here to meet with you today. Right off the beginning, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was being made. He is the Logos, the one who always was, who always is, and the one who is to come. The second thing is he's a part of the Godhead. He is God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Both with and was. He was in the beginning with God. So right from the beginning, John is establishing Jesus as the creator, and he's establishing Jesus as part of the Godhead. He is God. Third, he says he is life. Now, he isn't just a part of life. I hope he's not just a part of your life. He is life. He's the origination of life. He's the holder of life. Colossians chapter 1 says he exists before anything else and he holds all things together. In the book of Genesis, it says he breathed into Adam in Genesis 2:7. Then he formed the man from the dust of the ground and he breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils and the man became a living person. Job 33 says, the Spirit of God has made me and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Just take a deep breath right now. Breathe it out. That right there, you wouldn't have without Jesus. He isn't just a part of life. He is life. And without him, there's no life. David says in Psalm 104, when you take their breath away, they will die again and turn into dust. And when you give them breath, life is created and you will renew the face of the earth. God isn't a part of life. Christ isn't a part of life. He is life. Then it says Jesus is light. And John talks about John the Baptist, that he wasn't the light, but he was giving witness to the light, saying that Jesus is the light. And when we get to verse 9, it says, that gives true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Well, what is this? This is your consciousness. Jesus gave you the spirit that's on the inside of you. That person that you talk to sometimes, that person that you know, you're not just a frame or a body, but he gave you your life, your breath, but he also gave you your person. And here in this part, it's talking really about your soul. Your soul was given to you by Christ. Life, yes, but also the consciousness that you live with. Number five, he's the Savior, John says. But as many to him, he gives them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. I love this. They were born not. This is really important terminology. Born not. You're not just born from your mom and your dad. You're not just born of flesh. You're not just born of the will of man, or because your mom and dad wanted to have a baby. You are born of God. And the term for this theologically is the term regeneration. Regeneration is the spiritual transformation that occurs when someone is born again. This is because the Holy Spirit's work is bringing a new believer to Christ. So we're not born in our spirit because of man. We are born in our spirit, and God makes you alive in Christ. When you give your life to Christ, you become a new person in Jesus Christ. All the old is gone and the new has come. Is there anybody thankful in the house today? And so he isn't just part of your life. He isn't just a part. He is Savior and Lord. And then he is Christ. The Word became flesh. Of course, Christmas is coming. The Word became flesh, Son of Man, Son of God, and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of truth and grace. But this is where I want to land today, and where I want to get us to as we'll worship in a moment. He is the person, the only begotten of the Father, full of truth and grace. And because John was the disciple that Jesus loved most, he wanted you to know that he was the creator. He wanted you to know that he's the miracle worker. He wanted you to know he's the one who gives you breath. He wanted you to know that he's the one who makes your soul alive in Christ. He wanted you to know all these things about Jesus. But like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are about what Jesus did and said, John wants you to have an encounter with the one that is full of truth and grace. And can I just tell you tonight that without Christ, there is nothing. Without Christ, there is nothing. And in this world, without Christ, there is nothing. It's an empty glass. It's an empty world without this. Without this word of truth that is the infallible, inerrant word of God. Without this, this world is empty of truth. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But in the world, it's my life, my way, my truth. And without Christ, without his word in your life will be empty. And it's empty of truth. But can I also tell you, the world is empty of grace. It's empty of love. It's a mean world. It's a harsh world. It's a tough world. The Bible says that Jesus was full of both truth and grace. Full of grace, charis, graciousness, forgiveness, kindness, full of truth, reality, which means true to fact. He is truth in his word, and he is grace in his presence. He is the Logos, but he's also the Rhema, and he's the person of Christ. Let me just tell you a little bit of my story as the worship team comes or the piano player comes. My story is that I grew up a pastor's kid, and I knew everything about God and about church, but I hadn't experienced Christ. It's the most dangerous place to be, when you know about things, but you don't know the person of Jesus. In fact, if you really think about it, the people that knew everything about the Word were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, that knew the Word better than anyone else, knew the Torah better than anyone else. They had it memorized. They had it on their faces and on their clothing. They had the word everywhere, and they had the truth without the person, the grace. It's the most dangerous thing you can have is truth without grace, because if you don't have the person of Jesus in your life, you can end up having Christ right in front of you. And the Bible says they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize who John said he was as the creator and the savior and the giver of life. And he was right there. Yet they couldn't see him. If you have truth, or if you have grace but not truth, you end up in immoral living. You end up far from God, in sin, not living right for God. And so there I was, a young man, about the same age as many of you in this room. And I knew everything about church. I knew a lot about the Bible. I knew all the rules and regulations, but I didn't know the person. I knew Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but I had not met the John, the Jesus that John knew. I didn't really know. I had heard that Jesus loved me, but I didn't know that Jesus loved me. I had heard that I was forgiven, but I hadn't really received the grace of God. I had gone to church and seen all the stuff of church, but I hadn't met Jesus. Started getting into minor crime. I know I don't look like that kind of guy. Keying cars, watching pornography with my friends. Darkness started to fill my soul until I came to a point where in my room I said, God, if you're real, I don't want just the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what Jesus said and what Jesus did. I gotta know the person of Jesus. That was the day that my life changed, got purpose, got connected with Christ, turned my bedroom into a Bible college where now I had grace. And now that I got the grace of God, the person of Christ, as I opened up my Bible, all of a sudden the truth started to fill me. I became a new person in Christ. The things that I used to want to do, I didn't want to do anymore, because Christ was living in me and doing something in me. And I was changed and transformed by the goodness of God, and but by the grace of God. But my prayer as I was thinking about coming here was, I'm sure there's some that would be in this place that would say, wow, I know a lot of stuff. I know the Matthew, the Mark, the Luke. But I need to know Jesus. I need a revelation of Jesus. I found that when I was your guys' age, many of your age, and I had that first time, I found that I needed to do it again when I was 31, when God called me to pastor the church that we're pastoring. And I found myself just 3 days ago turning 50, putting my knee back down, saying, God, I need another encounter. Not just with what you did and what you said. I need another encounter with Christ, full of grace and truth. Can we stand to our feet tonight? Maybe you're here tonight and maybe Maybe you just need to get right with God. I'm just going to ask every person to close your eyes across this place. And you're here and you say, Pastor, I just got to get right with God. I'm living in sin. I'm far from God. I know better. Maybe you don't know better. Maybe you came into this place, I don't know better, but now I know. I can tell the Holy Spirit's just tugging on your heart and calling you and pulling you forward. And you're here tonight. You say, Pastor, I need to know Christ. And I need to be forgiven of my sin. I need a new life. I need regeneration. I need my life to turn around. I want it to be real. I don't want it to be fake. I want the real thing. And you're here. And you say, I got to get right with God. Just all over the room, if it's you tonight. As I raised my hand back in the day and I've knelt down many times since, you're here and you just want to be real with God and say, yeah, I want to get right with Jesus today. It's all over this place. Just at the count of three, would you just lift up your hand if that's you? And I want to pray for you in a moment. Lift it up right now. 1, 2, 3. Just lift it up all over this place. Many people getting right with God. I'm just going to ask every other person to just join, put up your hand and join with these that have their hands up. And would we pray this prayer today and say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross for my sins so that I can be forgiven, cleansed, made new, free. I receive what you've done for me now in Jesus' name. Jesus.